Well, welcome to another week. It's the Hour of Truth. It is a Sunday afternoon now, and we thank you for joining us. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, all right, and we're moving through, and we got levels on the meters. I got Brad here with me. I have Phil here with me, and hi, everybody.
Hey, Paul.
I am given the time of year it is. For some reason, I'm looking in the last week of Jesus' life in John, and we are kind of heading in towards what is known as Christmas, but in the birthing experience of Jesus, although there's this controversial is that maybe, I don't know, something about March or something. Not necessarily the time he was born, but the time we celebrate. So I'm looking at towards the time of what we also celebrate. Boy, this is one abomination after another. Easter not necessarily being...
Constantine did it.
Not necessarily being the time he rose either. So, you know, anyhow, the irony is that I'm sitting here looking at the last week of his life when we're allegedly presuming upon the time of year we celebrate a birth. We were discussing a little bit in our service today about the ministry both of Jesus and his disciples after Pentecost, who managed to get the attention not just of those who heard their gospel message, but they got the attention of those religious leaders who were not necessarily so ready to receive the new dispensation, the new covenant, as it were.
Yeah, there was a lot of money on the line here.
A lot of jobs, a lot of power, a lot of position. And they every time you turn around, they're holding a council about what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do now? And I was kind of operating in the latter verses of John chapter 11. And I'm going to move forward a little bit. Now, they're holding councils. They have gotten Jesus' Jesus has managed to attract their attention. Now, he's been going into the synagogue, into the temple, and preaching at a somewhat regular interval. And they haven't done anything to get him, but he has caused enough of a stir that they were always laying. They always had the plans ready. They had the rocks ready just in case the plans didn't work.
Well, they were looking for an occasion to kill him.
Right. So it's Passover's coming, and he's heading in to Jerusalem for Passover, and the Jews are already talking about. Surely he's coming into the feast, and this would be an opportunity for us to grab him. And where am I going to start here?
Well, this is right after he raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah.
General
yeah, we had him raising Lazarus from the dead, and then...
That's an interesting story in 11, because... people around him saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, and they immediately went and told the Pharisees. What were they thinking? I guess they at least picked a side.
Mm-hmm. Well, they come up again. At least they're mentioned again. But Mary anoints Jesus with spikenard, very costly. And that gets Judas a little upset.
Yeah, they point out in John that he wasn't upset because of the loss of the money, except that he carried the bag and he was a thief.
Yeah, thus he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bear what was put therein. He's kind of sizing it up to take and steal. Jesus tells him, you know, leave her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor ye have with you. The poor you always have with you. But me you have not always. Much of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead.
I look at Joey sometimes. I mean, it is a wonder to see.
Yeah, perhaps I need to keep mentioning that we're now on verse 9 of chapter 12. Verse 9 of chapter 12. And the chief priest, verse 10, consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. See, they're really nice people.
They're covering all the bases.
Yeah, this guy, he might have something going on too that we don't have, and that might be dangerous for us. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Yeah, we can't have any more. We're bleeding, hemorrhaging. We can't be hemorrhaging any faster.
Damage control here.
So, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that come in the name of the Lord.
Well, I got it right.
And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. And this is again a fulfillment of prophecy. These things understood not his disciples at the first. And this is a little sidebar John takes in many places. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then he remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave, raised him from the dead, bear record. In other words, these people that saw this happening.
Yeah, they were testifying.
They're telling people what all happened. And the people, therefore, verse 17, when he called them, that bear record. That's what I just read. For this cause, verse 18, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said amongst themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him. And that's verse 19. And I'm going to get somebody else to read, because my voice is...
They were trying to kill the light, not just kill Jesus, but they wanted to put Lazarus to death. They did not want this truth to be known, no matter what. And no matter you know, the worse they tried, it seemed like the more it came out. And that's the light, Jesus Christ. Couldn't put it out.
Yeah, if you look at 15, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. The daughter of Zion here, I think, is not all of the people of Israel. You know, they are not all of it, all Israel who are of Israel, but it's always been salvation by grace and faith. And so the majority of the people here, and I would venture to say even a lot of them that were laying down the palm branches and crying Hosanna were probably, if they weren't in that crowd saying crucify him, were at least consenting to his death shortly after this passage occurred. But 15, fear not. You know, the Lord's plans are firm and he is coming. You know, and the day of salvation is here.
Well, there's a I've never been quite sure what to make of the Hebrew reception of him. It says that many of the Pharisees also believed, but they kept it quiet because they didn't get put out of the synagogue.
Yeah, it's like dawn's beginning to break, but we're not quite in the day yet.
But you know, before his resurrection, I'm not sure that any of that gets held against them. After his resurrection, some of them actually came around. So, but you know, everybody, it should be pointed out, just about everybody who at Pentecost received Peter's gospel and the Spirit was poured out on them were all Jews.
Yeah, Jews. 3,000 at one time.
So, I mean, many of them their faith came to manifest itself, I suppose, is let's see, where was I? Where were we? We were on,
you're down around.
verse 19. The Pharisees, this is Pharisees saying, you see, nothing we're doing is working. This isn't working. And it just, the harder we try, the behinder we get. The world's going after him. What are we going to do?
Well, there's only one thing left to do.
And you know they're dumb. They just assume it's about Lazarus. They had heard that he had done this miracle. So there were certain. This is one of those interesting placements, and I'm never really sure what to do with this because he mentions these Greeks. And then he goes on, and we don't ever hear what happened to the Greeks, but he's caused me to do some questioning. Maybe I'll find out what happened to the Greeks later. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, interesting, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
This is another one of these answers that doesn't really sound like he's answering the question.
Yeah, I don't really know what that is there.
So, okay. Verily, 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 oh man.
Ready to pick it up?
Yeah.
12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
Okay. That's interesting. And we've heard something like this in Matthew,
And in Luke, I know, it may have been something like this in Mark. I know it's in Luke twice, something like this. So, there's significance to this. And there again, how it affects the Greeks we were just talking about, I don't know. But what?
There's a lot.
Well, okay. Davey says he thinks he's thinking the Greeks are there to crucify him. Okay. All right. I would have thought maybe Romans or centurions or something would do that, but I understand that there are a lot of people looking for him, and he's just trying to keep doing what he's there to do. And
he says, you remember the beginning of this book that you have where he says, "Woman, my hour is not yet come." Now he's saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." You know, he's talking about right now. He's about to, it's coming close to where he's about to die on the cross. You know, it's funny here what you have too is though they're doing everything. They're like, okay, well, shoot, even the whole world's going after him. What should we do? Now that you know it's set in their mind that they want to crucify Jesus at this point and shut this thing up and be done with it. But even then, you can't hide, you know what I'm saying? You can't hide the light of Jesus, because then you even have it when he was hung on the cross. You have where the whole, the sky was filled with darkness. He took the sin of the world, and you even had the centurion that was mocking him and giving him vinegar. So, oh man, truly this was the Son of God. This thing was not done in the corner. And then after that, you have the fruit of that was all, Jesus was one guy. But now you have his whole body. You got 12 disciples out there armed and ready to go out and preach the gospel. And you see at the day of Pentecost, as Paul was talking about earlier, of how many people believed the gospel that instance, right then and there. So, even so much more, the fruit of what Jesus did comes about. And I believe that's a lot of what he's talking about here when the corn of wheat. Because when he dies, he gives them the Holy Ghost and empowers them to go out and preach the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah, that fire got lit.
Yeah, in a big way. When you go down to that, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life everlasting. And you take a look at the apostles that were
there. They actually stand a chance of bringing forth the fruit.
Right. Well,
his love.
And then, the fruit of his love. And that's it. And that's just it right there. You know, the apostles, they didn't care. All they cared about was doing the will of the Father. They didn't care about their lives anymore. And that, this is for all of us here that believe.
We're all believers and non-believers alike are going to face two-stage end. And right. this thing we're lugging around is not us. We are, our soul, our spirit, and this body is just a carcass that's carrying this stuff. It is cursed.
Right. And well, because of Jesus' death, we have life in him.
Right.
And that's where the fruit of it, when you're talking about the corn of wheat. And then you're following along here, and he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I mean, you had the apostles, they put off this life in this world to follow Jesus, and even more so, if we're going to be, we're to be a part of this plan. Right here, I mean, to be a part of Jesus' plan. And look at Jesus' example. He gave his life so that we could have life.
Jesus pressed on to doing what he was supposed to be doing right up to the death. Even the cross death. And he knew that was the cost. And he also knew that was the victory.
Right.
And if we believe him, we believe the same thing. And we do what he has us doing until we can't do it anymore. And then we praise God, because that second stage is the stage that's the entrance to his eternal
kingdom is what it says here, right? Life eternal. Right. Keep it unto life eternal.
And remember, Gamaliel.
We're going to lose this one, whether we believe it or not.
Right. And you know, you got Gamaliel. You remember how I was telling about, hey, they're trying to put the light out. They even did it with, they took Peter, they beat him, they took the other apostles, and I think that's his name, Gamaliel.
Gamaliel
goes, remember when this thing is, you know, if this thing be of God, don't find yourself fighting against it.
Yes.
But if it's not of God, it's just going to go away. And he shows them the examples of those things. And they knew what was going on. They can't fight against God. God is will prevail.
Right.
And we're going to, us losing our lives for his sake is us choosing to be a part of that plan or not. And being a Peter or being a Paul or being a James or whoever, one of the 12 that's going to go out there and say, it's all about you, Lord. We're going to go and preach your gospel.
Yeah, and the loss of this life, 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
And David says it's Gamaliel, okay.
Gamaliel. In 25, the loss of this life isn't just the final loss of life, which Christ is fixing to experience here, but the loss of your dreams and your plans. You have to give up what you were fixing to do, what you thought you were going to do, to follow the Lord.
If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
And you know, and this, you know, no, I don't hate to do this, but it, you know, 25, 26. You know, Jesus is saying, you know, in 25, you know, to be a part of my plan, you're going to be doing this if you want to be a part of my plan.
Right.
That's right.
But look at that promise after that is, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
You're going to be with me doing what I'm doing.
Right. And that's it, you know, and Jesus holds that eternal life. That's the win-win.
Yeah.
That's the win-win, and that's the promise. Even if somebody kills you today, who cares? You didn't want nothing to part to do with this life anyways. You're about his life and his kingdom. So it's either we're going to either hang on to this old nasty life and try to treasure that and die with it, or are we going to lose this nasty thing and go but be with him and have life eternal with him?
And, you know, we're heading into the part. We're heading into the part where Jesus' humanity, you know, is on display. He was up there, David says, with his natural mind, thinking that these Greeks were seeking him out. Like, you know, everybody's seeking him out for one reason or another.
Assassins.
But there is a crowd that's trying to seek him out to kill him. And the time isn't right yet. And
but it's almost right.
It's almost right. So you know it's getting close.
Well, he said, when the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. I mean, that's he's saying it's coming, though.
All right, I'm hoping the voice is going to hold out. And I apologize for all the throat clearing. It's probably never far enough away from the mic. The verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour. This is why I'm here. It's not.
Well, it's an encouragement to me because he said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. He didn't, obviously we're commanded and expected to follow perfectly, but he knows that we're frail. So he made provision for our frailty. And you see Christ himself struggling with trying to understand in some fashion what's going on here.
Well, this is like what it was and what it means in Hebrews 4, where it says, you know, we have not.
That's just where I was. Yeah, we have not a priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in always tempted like as we are. And we speak and preach of the divinity of Christ, and he is and always has been God. But for a while, he was a man every bit as we are men. Everything that we face, he faced.
That's right.
No difference.
And, you know, his soul's troubled, but then he reminds both his hearers and us and himself, for this cause came I to this hour.
And the fact that his soul was troubled and he was accepted, his soul was troubled because he knew he was about to fulfill the will of God. And likewise, if we have some distress in fulfilling the will of God, then...
And if he loved his life, then he wouldn't be... He couldn't be calling on us to lose ours, right?
That's right. Yeah, and Davey said he's asking a question. What shall I say? Father, save me? No.
Right.
It's for this hour that I came into the world. You know, you get those arguments back and forth inside your own head. Well, should I do this? Should I do that? No, I'm going to do what I know I'm called to do.
Yeah, clearly the answer to this question is no, because it says, but for this cause came I to this hour. When that's the conclusion he reaches, we understand that the answer is definitely no. It doesn't say no, but it is implied. The but means to the contrary. For this cause came out of this hour. He knows why he's here, and he's putting off the carnal.
That's right.
He's putting it off and choosing to do what he came here for. As I hit my head on the mic... A pro that I am. You're going to say something?
Yeah. That, you know, the Lord's not asking us to do anything he hasn't done.
That's right.
And, you know, as we bump along hitting that, because we don't hit it, Jesus did it perfectly. The comfort there is that, you know, he's there with us. And going forward in him. And he covers all that slacking as we go forward in it. You know, and the Lord is not asking us to do anything he hasn't done perfectly. You know, and that tells me for me how loving and merciful the Lord is.
Yeah.
And as his grace covers us and as we...
Because we... That, which is lacking on our part.
Absolutely. And he does, and he's there with us in our walk. He doesn't just leave us astray. Oh, you fell, you messed up here. No, you know right. You know we have James. You know, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. You know, look back on me. Look back on the cross. That's why I die for you.
Yeah.
I love you. Pick yourself back up. Look to me. That grace has covered that. Give up. Believe me, look on me again.
And asking the question wasn't sin. Shall I ask you to save me from this hour? I mean, that tells me that in my daily along, for me to step back and go, well, wait a second, is this the way to go? Or, yeah, that is the way to go. It's all right to step back and take a look.
Either save me from this hour or save me from the consequences. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, you got to figure at some point he'd probably seen crucifixion. I'm sure he had an ironclad view of what was fixing to go down.
Yeah. But he knows why he's here and for this cause that I come to this hour. I'm here because this is your will and I'm doing it. He puts off the old man and says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said,
an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes.
Yeah, that's that natural explanation popping up for everything. That never ceases, does it?
Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. You have these expectations. This is what's going on here. And I'm going to be, this is God's plan.
And I'm defeating
the enemy.
I'm defeating the enemy here. I'm defeating the second death. It has no hold on you. And we are, and he is, you know, the prince of this world is going to be cast out. What he's doing here is giving the prince of the world no power over us.
He's describing his victory. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And now sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? They don't get it. They're not getting it. I don't get it either.
Well, they did at least understand he was talking about his own crucifixion.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you don't get it until you know the whole story. And when you know the whole story, you go, boy, these people are stupid. And then you go, I was there too, dirtbag. I don't belong to be judging them.
if you do, you're going to find yourself in the same situation.
Yeah, it is a stink going, to be stink going. To be you. Yeah,
I am no dang different.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but the closer I come to the Lord and the closer I walk, I see, you know, we look at children of Israel. Dumbasses. You're no different. You know, you go to some of the people in the Bible, you idiot. I'm no different.
Can I ask a stupid question? what are you talking about?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and the more I read in Scripture and the more the understanding, you know, I think I shared some this morning, and I hope it came out all right, but, you know, one of some of the things I was talking about as I go into Scripture and I'm looking, you know, James 4, and some of these things are very convicting on my part, very convicting. And it shows me, you know, this is some of the light that's shown on my heart that, and shoot, there's those areas, man, there's those areas that... Not now are being revealed so I can get shed and be free from them, you know. And it shows me my natural carnal nature and how much I need Jesus.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, it's easy to go, that dumbass. And then you go, you are no different for me, you know.
Just about the time you're thinking you're, you know, thinking pretty good of yourself, you're going, ugh. Yeah, I mean, you know, and the truth of the matter is there's no reason to think very good of any of ourselves because...
I like the story of the woman that goes up to the preacher. Preacher, preacher, I went a whole day without sinning. Well, you must be very proud of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and, you know, the safety and all that, that's what, you know what that boils in and brings you to all consistently and about is the gospel. Jesus Christ and His love, and it keeps you focused on that, and that is the importance of what this is about. I think it was, Davey, I hope I don't misquote you, and I apologize already. But, you know, I know we're in Texas, and one of the things was he was in Texas talking about being in hell, and we're going to be in hell and arguing about, well, I knew more than you did, no more. Who cares? It's hot! Who cares? It's hot.
Yeah, you're not going to be talking about how much more you knew than next person. You know,
or how much more you know, or you think it brings to the
point. Can one of y'all send me some water?
You know, a little side note. But you know what that brings in mind? That brings Corinthians 13, man.
Yeah.
And which was on my mind, you know, the whole time after service, you know. Thou love. And it's about the love of Christ and what He's done, that agape love. And that choice he makes, because you know it was a choice. It was a choice for him. And I'm getting a little sidetracked, so I'll let you run with it.
A little derailed, perhaps. How Jesus takes it, he starts bringing it home. And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And, the truth is, that was a call on them to pick a side.
It's that Corinthians, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. He's saying, you have the light, you better believe in the light. You better walk in that light.
Well, we're sitting here, 2,000 years later. But that light is still with us. And this takes you back to John chapter 3. And we don't want our deeds reproved. that's the only time we start running from the light.
Well, you have light, but you don't know the day of your death. And so it is possible, absolutely, to send away the day of grace. And then if you say no long enough, and I know you all heard me tell a story of a couple of times I've had very, very close brushes with death. And I've heard people say, oh, I'll get right with the Lord on my deathbed or shortly before. But I think death is a very, very natural experience. It's not like do-do-do-do-do, the old Rod Serling Night Gallery theme. It's not like that.
You don't know when it's coming necessarily either. They don't start playing the theme when it's time.
Exactly. That was last August. I was laying there bleeding out, and I understood I was bleeding out, and I was, concerned about that. But not in the sense like, oh, I know this is my impending end. I mean, at some level I did. But that's what he's saying. You have a light. You need to walk in the light while you have it. And if you think you're going to wait till the very last second, I can tell you probably as well as most people that you don't know when the last second is, even though you might be standing very, very close to it. Now is the accepted time. Today is your day.
While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light.
If you're listening now, online or whatever, then you're standing in that light. This is the light of the gospel being shined from the world.
These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them.
What verse are you in?
36.
12:36.
Yeah, it's the same light, Davey says, that from the beginning, when God said, let there be light, from the second beginning.
It's interesting about that. If you read that, when he says, let there be light, he hadn't created the sun yet.
Well, in the new earth, new heaven and the new earth, there is no sun. The Lamb himself is the light. Preview of good things to come.
Yeah. So, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed and hid himself from them.
Well, I'm with you if you have me. Now, I'm out of here. So, you're just going to have to believe it. Because I'm hiding.
Now we're back to now is the accepted time.
Yeah. You're going to have to come look for it now. You're going to have to prove you want it. And that's a choice.
It's a choice every day.
But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them.
That's a hard thing to say.
Well,
because he's going to manifest their hearts for being as dark as they are, I guess.
They're those that did not receive, could not receive. And what did Romans say? Their foolish hearts were darkened?
Well, the disciples asked Christ one time, why do you keep speaking to everybody in parables? And Jesus more or less quoted this. He said, if I spoke to them plainly like I'm speaking
they'd
to you,
believe and they'd be
converted. Yeah, then they'd believe and then they'd be converted and then I'd have to heal them.
Yeah.
So I speak to them in dark sayings and parables so that seeing they won't see and hearing they won't hear and they won't believe.
Yeah, that's right.
There goes your little panty-waist Jesus right out the door right there.
That is correct. These things, where was I? Go ahead.
You know, in another sense on this point, and, you know, I could be dead wrong in here, but you remember all those years, the day of Pentecost when all of those guys were converted? You know, I mean, you know, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I mean, there's that point where Jesus had not yet gone to the cross here. You know, and
saying like everything's a good time, everything in its own order.
I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of something that's kind
of. If the nation had received him, if all the Jews here had received him, God would have never gone out to the Gentiles.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
It almost didn't.
Yeah. Had to stir up a bunch of persecution in Jerusalem, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, I mean, sometimes you just this. Sit fat and happy with, oh man, we're all in good, we're in good with God now. We're here when all this happened. And just sit there and hold hands and sing Kumbaya until we die. And then what happened?
Well, the Apostle Paul addressed that point, didn't he? He said, if the loss of the Jews is salvation to the world, then their redemption will be life from the dead, something like that. And the idea of where unnatural branches grafted into a perfect vine. So, yep.
Sound like Romans 10, 9 and 10, somewhere in there.
That sounds right to me, too. But, you know, because what you're saying is if the Jews had received him at this point in time, the gospel wouldn't have gone out to us Gentiles. So
yep.
This had to be, you know, the whole manifold wisdom and mercy of God.
Which also was prophesied. And that was also a fulfillment of prophecy. That when Jesus says, you know, those from strange lands or whatever, from far away places.
Yeah.
I'm really
murdered. Yeah, well, he said, I have sheep not in this flock.
Yeah. So.
You have a lot of examples of Gentile believers in the Old Testament. Rahab, Naaman the Syrian, Cornelius, which was prior to Christ's crucifixion in the New Testament. No, I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Well, my brain is still in search of a thought, but that's perhaps a longer journey than we have here.
Well, so, you see where Israel is planted, right? I mean, if you look on the map, you see Israel. They're surrounded by...
You take a worse spot.
Right.
Or a better spot.
Crossing. You know, what ended up happening with Israel, this is just a kind of a sidetrack thought. What ended up happening with Israel, I mean, Israel was right there in a spot where they could deliver the word of the Lord out to all the other countries. Instead, they got prideful because they were God's chosen people, you know?
Yeah, that chosen thing tends to pride.
Right. So, I mean, you have, you know, and that's where they took it here. At this point, the Jews did. I mean, because you even see there's the separation, when there's separation in the synagogue itself between the Gentiles and the Jews,
the outer court and inner court.
His chosen people, turns out, have to choose to believe in.
Right, absolutely.
No.
But you see how that, you know, the Lord came in that gospel was to, you know, he died for the sins of the what? Whole world.
Right.
You're saying something in the chat? Am I missing something?
Yeah, David was responding to my in search of a thought thing in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know.
But you've seen just that, though. That gospel being preached to the ends of the world.
Yeah.
Man, you've seen it starting with that persecution that happens in Jerusalem in Acts, and then you see them going, crap, we're getting out of here. Yeah. And you know, that's exactly what the Lord wanted them to do.
The fulfillment, the time of fulfillment, the people who were operating in the instructions of seeking to lose their life, that they can find it in life eternal and in him. When these people, when Paul and those who followed after him were moving with reckless abandon to preach the gospel, to minister the gospel, until they couldn't do it anymore. They had lost their lives. They were totally consumed by pressing Jesus Christ to the end, to the end, to the end, to the end. And not that I have attained anything, he says, but I press forward to the high calling. The high calling was preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel.
And you know, it's neat, you know, as we're talking about.
Until he stops me from doing it.
On this note, you know, and you know, then be converted and I should heal him. And you got Paul the Apostle going out, as we're talking about, preaching the gospel out. Paul the Apostle was a Jew sent to the Gentiles. And you know, it's, to me, that's neat. And then, you know, to the point of, you know, look, you know, what had to happen after, you know, even Paul was, you know, he was killed. I mean, you had Timothy coming up and you had the other apostles in the churches coming up as a result of that. I mean, it's a forth going thing. And each time the fruit of this obedience, and it starts with Jesus going to the cross, that fruit of obedience of love is just multiplied more and more.
Yeah, the loss of one man doesn't stop it. The loss of whole churches, of the history of the church, has been annihilation of whole bodies through time.
Yeah.
You know, that obedience to love not your life unto the death is the fruit of that love. It extends and multiplies.
That's right.
Well, all these things, you know, the hardened heart and not seeing, lest they should be converted and I should heal them. Verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. You know, this is based on what amounts to Isaiah having who's Isaiah?
Isaiah.
That's what I thought. When the word of the Lord came to him, he had actually got a glimpse.
Met him.
Yeah. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Now, there again, this is before the cross. And they didn't have a vision of a different structure for worshiping him.
So this isn't held against them here. But what happens after his resurrection is another matter. They yet had to make a choice to confess him.
And many of them did.
Lose their lives to be found in him. And some of them did, and some of them didn't. But the challenge that Jesus spoke here, you know, it's a challenge. It was a challenge for them. It's a challenge for us. Not enough to be going to church twice a week, showing up at Bible study, and yet not believe. You don't get God's reconciliation with God by osmosis. You get it because you choose to lay down. You lose your life and immerse yourself in Jesus. Put off the old and put on Jesus. Put off the old and put on Jesus. Right?
That's right. And that's believing his word in, even the worst situations. As I was up there this morning, from the standpoint I'm coming back, you're coming from, is sometimes I look and go, with the doubtful mind, go, oh my goodness, what is the point? Well, in the most doubting of all these situations, I go, you know what? But his word says this. His word says this.
Absolutely.
And, it's one thing. I mean, you had it where, Jesus was going around healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils. And, man, he had a freaking fan club, man, going on. And it was easy for them to believe then. But when the confusions of the Pharisees and all these things started coming in, it was some of the same people going, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And it's in those moments, Peter had his doubts and all these, but you have John who's written in this book in the midst of all this. I think John knew what was going on. He followed him all the way to the cross there. And as doubtful as it could, I would be in the same boat, Peter. John, I think, was hanging on to that truth and knew what was going on. Part of putting off that old man and putting on, and not loving your life is no matter what the situation is, you believe God, you believe his word, you believe in what he has done in the power of his resurrection.
Yeah.
And that's a choice that you make. And do we make that choice all the time? I know for me, I fall very short of it. At the same time, I go and hit counter all joy when you follow his diverse temptations. Because for me, in the midst of all these situations, you choose to believe God. I remember talking with Steve when I was in Texas. And one of the things was, Steve, he was having a kind of a, rough time. He's following the Lord, and he didn't just get dumped a mansion, got handed to him, and then, his life in this world just started just prospering, and all these things. I'm talking with Steve, and he said, there's some hard things. I am kind of going in debt. And, things aren't taking off. And, people are not liking him because he's speaking the truth. They're supposed to be his brothers and sisters and the Lord supporting him, and not be, looking at these things. But he had to, put off the old man and choose to, believe God. Now, look at how the ministry has grown. From then, it was a lot smaller. And now, he's seeing some very good fruit. And it's like, that's neat. Now, I don't know that's Steve's perspective on it, but that's what I got when I was talking to him, was in the midst of those situations, man, Steve was diligent to choose to believe God and to put off the old man.
We've only got a couple minutes left, so I'd like to get through all the rest of these verses in chapter 12.
Let's read that.
So we had in 42, nevertheless, the chief rulers
Many also believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that is, you know, I'm going, all these stupid people, until I get to that verse, and then I go, oh. Because we're so much like that. We're so much like that. We're so eat up with wanting the praise of men.
Yeah.
That which we can see versus that which we have, we just have to hope in, believe in, and trust for. So, there we go. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sent me seeth, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I am the light." Okay, I thought there was...
I thought so too, but no.
A structured chase for the microphone over there.
Well, there is. I have something to say, but we're almost out of time. I know you want to get to the verse.
All right. "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge it not, for I come not to judge the world, but to save the world." The world's already judged.
It's already condemned.
It's already condemned. Judged and condemned. So, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. I came not to save the judge world, but save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." In other words, I spoke the truth. You received it not. That's enough. That'll judge you. "I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." And you know what? That needs to be what we're doing. That needs to be what we're doing.
Amen. And you know, that you go to that part where he says, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. You know, he's declaring, you know,
I'm
God.
Yeah, that's me.
I'm the Father. And you know,
I'm the revelation of the Father.
Right, I'm revelation of the Father. Thank you. And he did only that which was designed of the Father's will to do. And that's what we need to be about, like Paul was saying. And that starts by choosing to believe Jesus and believe his word no matter what. And it will be those things that we speak to get rid of the darkness and the
carnal mind. Let's say goodbye, everybody. Now that you've spit out all you got to spit out, goodbye, everybody. God bless, everybody.